from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show. If you haven't listened to today's story, we'd encourage you to pause and go listen to Stephanie Bond's episode on our companion podcast first. If you like what you hear, check out the episode on her website. The links to the podcast and the serial are in the show notes. So, JP.
So, Christine.
So, besides being sick, how has your week been?
It's been all right. Like I told you, I tested negative for COVID still, so fingers crossed. But yes, I don't sound the greatest. But yes, I launched a book.
Yay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Party. Congratulations.
Party. Yeah. We took a weird route where we're not posting it directly to socials at the moment, but we're doing like newsletter swaps and promotions. And that has been an interesting ride. Main reason is so that the also bots are properly trained. So that is what we're doing. And so far, I don't know, I would say it's pretty successful.
You've been happy with the launch so far?
Yeah.
And we have
pre-orders for book two already, which is exciting.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Keep us posted.
Yes. How are you? How is life?
Madness. I was just telling you that I'm a slug. I don't know. I'm just tired. You know, lots of projects going on. Serials going on, podcasts going on. I'm kind of working on two novels at the same time right now. And, you know, hoping to have some things rolling out later on this year. So it's been a ride.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a ride for both of us. So
yeah. Cool. Yeah. This end of year is going to be madness, but I can't wait for it.
Good kind of madness.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ready to go talk to our author?
I'm ready. Let's do it. So JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. When you use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you. And
100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code SERIAL20. So JP, let's talk about Later Press. So Later Press is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on Later Press, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was, you can put a collection and then you can put your, we put Nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spinoffs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see Nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up Nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct mm-hmm. readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, you know, or your yeah. serials. You can put serials up as well. And yeah, and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you. Because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but yep. you just get content to read.
And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press.
So this serial starts off with a plain-looking daughter of celebrities who's down on her luck. You've done a lot of serials. How do you go about crafting an opening that will hook readers pretty quickly?
So all of my serials that they last for 6 months, and they're told in a diary format. So we're literally, you know, the readers are reading, if they're following along on my website, they're getting that day's episode on July 1st or July 31st, whatever day they're reading it. That's actually happening in that day for the character. So what we're getting is a 6 month slice of that character's life. When you think about back over your own life, think about, is there a 6 month period where everything seemed to be happening? There were lots of changes, you know, changes in your personal life, in your career. That's where I want the character to be. When we drop her in, when we drop in on her in the serial and we drop in on that first day, I want there to be a lot of change happening. So I'm thinking, what's going wrong in her personal life? What's going wrong in her career? You know, what is this sort of the perfect storm of everything that could be happening? That's where I want to start the serial so that I have lots of places to go with it in the next 6 months.
So in terms of theme or armature, when Christine and I looked at this, we came up with a couple. So Christine had, how do we learn to trust again after being burned? And I had, we're not defined by the way we look or are perceived, but by what we do and achieve. And in the reader section, you mentioned expectations was the theme that you were approaching. So I'm curious, how do you go about using theme as you're writing these serials?
Okay, so yes, expectations was a big part of this, the theme for this serial for Escort Girl, the new serial. But I'm gonna go backward a little bit and talk about the first serial I wrote was Coma Girl. And this was back when I was trying to figure out how to structure the serial. And I knew there would be 6 months of it. I wanted a big plot turn at the end of each month. So what I decided is for Coma Girl, I would step through the five stages of grief. And that felt like a good way to structure the story. So the character is going through the stages of grief, and so are the people who are visiting her. Everything about that particular month's episodes revolved around that particular step in the grief cycle. And then at the end of 5 months, she was either going to pass on or wake up. And then the 6 month was going to be sort of the fallout of what had happened the previous 5 months. So I felt like that was a good structure for the story, for that particular story. Going forward, I try to look at that slice of life and what is happening for that particular character. Like in Temp Girl, my second serial, she is in a career crisis. I needed to put her in a position where she's doing something for 6 months that changes her. It's sort of the way that I write them from diary format, I can kind of hang the story on the calendar. So not only what is happening in that particular character's life in the 6 months, but what's happening around the world in July and in August and September and October and November and December. So what do I have to structure the story around? I have holidays. I have, you know, 4th of July. What does that mean to the character? For example, in Coma Girl, she's listening to fireworks go off and she's thinking about how she, you know, is normally with her family, you know, listening to fireworks. What do the other holidays mean? At Thanksgiving, that's a great time to get families together or not, and to talk about family strife. So the calendar itself kind of informs the story and the structure of the story. For example, in October, it always ends on Halloween, right? So Halloween is a great time to have that big turn in your story, especially if it's a mystery and you can put some creepy elements in there. So I really lean on the character pretty heavily when I look at structuring my stories.
That's awesome. I love that. And I do think Kubler-Ross's Stages of Grief are a great story template for certain kinds of stories. So I think that's brilliant. So I want to ask a little bit more about your protagonist and escort girl, Esther. So when we see her at the beginning, she has this motivation or want to get a job so she can support herself because she's currently running out of funds. And she has this need to get out from under the shadow of her parents and their expectations and to be her own person. How do you go about crafting a character for a serial that you're going to take with you on a journey for 6 months?
So we have to start our characters in kind of a broken place, don't we? So we can take them, you know, they have some place to grow to. I also think it's important to have a sympathetic character. I've only gone against that one time. In one of my serials, I started out with a very spoiled diva who's kind of taken down a notch. And she's, I call that my make under story because, you know, by the end, she's, you know, transformed back into a nice person. with Esther, she's sort of, an underdog for sure, but not one that you would expect because she has been raised with such excess and so much privilege. And I think there's a lot of talk these days about people raised with privilege and living in privilege. And I kind of just wanted to show that maybe that's not all it's cracked up to be either. It's sort of a different set of problems. Maybe other people see it as a better set of problems. I mean, maybe that's the better way to put it. But I wanted to show that, you know, this is a character who's sort of, sort of just can't find her way because of everything, of everybody around her. There's a line in the story that I haven't gotten to yet, but it was in my mind from the beginning when I thought of Esther. She says to herself, everyone seems to be irritated that I'm even here. And that's kind of how she feels. No matter where she is, everyone seems to be put out with her. And I would rather if she would just disappear. So that's where I started with the character, and we'll see where it goes.
So when we looked at this first episode through the three C's, conflict, choice, and in this case, cliffhanger, that conflict moment really comes when, you know, we're in the office with this Meryl Streep character, and there's this turn, this moment where Esther realizes, well, maybe I'm getting hired because really they want to get to my mom. Maybe they're using me. And then she has to make this choice. Is she going to take this job, or is she going to take some type of a higher ground or something along those lines? And of course she takes the job. She needs it. She needs to do this. And then you leave us with this wonderful, like, anticipatory cliffhanger where we know that she's going to get some tough clients. We know she's going to get into trouble, and we just can't wait to read more. So I'm really curious, how do you go about crafting scenes in terms of that, like, structure and plot?
So I'm so glad that you brought up the three story method, because I think especially with serials that having the conflict, the choice, and the consequence is so important, because we're dropping them into the conflict right in the beginning of the episode. But it's the choice that I feel makes the difference. So I normally write romantic comedy, and I think especially in comedy, or a lot of movies especially, there's a tendency to make the character someone that a lot of things happen to. They're in a position, they're in a situation that's not of their own making. And they just sort of are the victim of circumstances. And we see them sort of get kicked around the entire movie or the entire show. And then things sort of just work out for them. What I don't like about that is it takes the agency away from the character. So if you follow the three-story method and you give your character that choice, maybe it's a choice they're making, you know, from the position of being in a corner. It's not a great choice, but that they at least feel like they're making the choice, then you are forced to give your character agency. And that means they're being proactive about their life, even if it's only in response to something that's being done to them. And I think that's crucial.
I think that's crucial too. I wish I could remember who said the quote, but you don't want a story where things happen to your character, but a story where your character happens to the story.
Exactly. So. Yeah. It's just like in life, you don't want to be a person that life happens to. You want to be a person who lives your life, and having character agency, you know, it just makes for a more vibrant character that, you know, now the reader can really root for them because we know they're invested in their own.
Yeah, that's excellent. So I want to talk a little bit more about how you do your serials in general. So you have a bit of a unique platform for your serials. Can you tell us about how you serialize fiction on your website?
Right. So, oh gosh. So I wrote serials back when I wrote for traditional publishers. And I was happy to write them. And I think readers were fine with the stories, but I was never really thrilled about the way they were executed. I always felt like there was a better way that the experience could have been better for the reader, and that there could have been more for the author that I could have gotten out of it, and actually more for the publisher as well. I just felt like they were always falling a little short of what they could have been. So just always fascinated with serials though. So around 2015, I started getting the itch to do something new, and I kept going back to serials. My mind just kept going back there, and I thought there's got to be a way to make this a better experience for everyone involved. And I sat down and just sort of worked out a model where I could offer it for free to readers who were willing to wait and read it every day. But I could also offer a pay model. So it's a hybrid model of free and pay. So if the reader wants to read ahead, then there's a novella available for them to read and get those episodes before anyone else gets them. And also, again, that I could offer the reader this experience that they wanted, where they could read it day by day and get it in small segments, or they could wait and binge an entire month, or they could wait to the very end and read the entire serial as a novel, if that's what they preferred. So the way that the serial works, if you go to stephaniebond.com and go to the Escort Girl page, either from the drop-down menu or from the banner on the front page, go there, you can read the introduction of the story. And that day's episode is shown. And the way that I do it in the beginning is I let 10 days accumulate on the website so that as many readers can get on board as possible. And then after that, it reverts to just displaying the one day's episode. So from July 1 through December 31st, there's a new daily episode. And then I offer it in the novellas for one per month, and then I offer it at the end in its entirety. So just lots of ways for the readers to get them. They're exclusive to Amazon, so they're in KU. And so the readers can get them that way. I mean, it's just sort of a mix and match experience for the reader. And it's turned out to be just sort of a successful way to tell a story for the author. And I think Amazon's probably happy with the sales too.
So you have published a ton. So not only do you have these serials and all these different formats, but you also have novels. I'm curious, what does that daily routine look like, especially with the fact that you have this 6-month period where you're writing the serial? What does your other 6 months look like? I'm curious about the whole, tell me the whole Stephanie Bond life.
The whole thing. Okay. So yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. So 25 years into my career at this point, and I wrote, you know, maybe 60 books for traditional publishers. And now I've written about that many for myself as well, since I started self-publishing in 2011. As far as I was telling you about, I just got the itch to write the serial. So one thing that I do appreciate and did miss from my days of writing for traditional publishers was the structure that I had from deadlines. And I felt like I wanted that again. I wanted a little bit more structure in my year. So setting up the 6-month serial so that I know what I'm doing from July to December, every year I know what I'm doing. And that kind of frees me up to have the spring to do something else. So I'm still writing. I've got a couple of mystery series that I write. I'm also getting back early titles from a former publisher. And as those come back to me, I'm revamping those and releasing those. I just finished my first screenplay. And I'm actually selling it as an ebook. While my manager is shopping it to studios, I'm selling it to my readers, offering it as an ebook. And I'm just getting ready to start my second screenplay. So honestly, it sounds like I'm super busy, but having the serial and being able to write it in segments so I can write it in fits and starts, I actually have a lot of time in between each month's novella. And it just fits my schedule. It just seems, I love having several projects going on at a time. And the serial has just gone, it's just been so good for me to have, you know, those sort of self-imposed deadlines and the reader imposed deadlines too.
That's amazing. So I'm curious about this screenplay. Can you tell us a little bit about that process? What did that look like? How did you go about doing that?
So I wrote the screenplay in final draft. And I was, first of all, let me say my film manager has been encouraging me for years to write a screenplay to sort of cut out the middleman, because I write a book. We hope that a production company options the book, but then that production company has to find a writer to make it into a screenplay. I mean, there's lots of steps in between. So he said, if you'll write the screenplay, we can cut out a lot of steps. And I'm thinking, but writing a screenplay on speculation, that takes a lot of time away from my writing books. And I know the books are going to sell. And I know that's what my readers want. So it was kind of it was hard for me to justify taking time away from writing books to write the screenplay. But then it occurred to me, maybe I can offer the screenplay for sale while he's shopping it to studios. So I wrote it in final draft, which does not play well with Word, by the way, but I imported it into Word, and then using Styles through Word, and in Juto is the formatting software that I use to turn it into an EPUB file. I used Styles in Word and Styles in Juto and made it look pretty much like a script. Like, it's pretty close to the way that it would look in final draft. And so then I converted it to an EPUB. Now, of course, I could have just offered it as a PDF, but PDFs are notoriously hard to read on e-readers. And I wanted it to be a really good reading experience for my readers. So now it's out there. It's called Long Distance Wedding. This was also a challenge my manager gave me to come up with a story where the two main characters aren't in the room together all the time. So to make it sort of pandemic proof. So the story is about, planning this long distance, this wedding long distance, some people that live on opposite coasts. So Long Distance Wedding is out there as an EPUB, and I'm going to leave it up until the happy day. If it sells to a studio, I'll take it down at that point. But until then, it's made me rethink writing spec scripts, because now I can offer them for sale to my readers, and they seem to be responding well, and it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so another serial question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so from what I understand, you are writing one episode reflecting one day over the course of 180 days, which makes your serials very unique. Do you find it easy or difficult to find a story or event that occurs every day for those 180 days?
No, it does take some planning, but I basically start with the calendar. So let's start with July. So I have my calendar. I know, July 1st, Friday. And I'm thinking, like for this story, I'm thinking, well, she's starting a new job. Let's have the interview on Friday, which means she's probably not going to start until Monday. So that gives me a chance to jump in with the story. She's starting a new job, but also we have the weekends to sort of see her personal life. So that just sort of eases the reader into the story. We get a little picture of each part of her life that way. So sometimes it's as simple as that. Another thing that I do, though, is I try to give the character something recurring every week. So, for example, in Coma Girl, I started out with a particular character visiting her on Sundays, and readers really liked that. So I had that character come back and visit her again every Sunday. In other, like in the Temp Girl serial, there were certain days, like on Wednesday, she cleaned the gym. That sounds small, but it gave me something to sort of hinge the week on, to sort of hang the story on. In another serial, I let Lottery Girl, she saw a therapist every Monday because she's, you know, trying to acclimate to this fortune that she's won. And that was a good sort of weekly recurrence to sort of hang the story on. So I've found that giving them some sort of weekly something or another, that's kind of a good place to start. I also go ahead and put in all the holidays. I think about Sundays and, you know, whether the character is religious or not, or Saturday, if that's their faith. So there are certain days of the week that kind of lend themselves to certain episodes. You know, happy hour on Friday, or laundry on Monday. I don't know. So those kinds of things. You just start, depending on your character, it just starts generating ideas when you look at the calendar. And then going forward, of course, you've got the rest of the year. You've got August. What's normally happening in August? Back to school. Well, if your character is not in school, but how does that back to school affect them? So maybe it's traffic. Maybe they wish they were had finished college. I don't know, those kinds of things. And what happens in September? Well, there's Labor Day, which isn't too exciting, but you know, it gives you a long weekend for them to have a holiday with family or friends or whatever. Then you've got October, Halloween. You know, could something crazy happen at the end of the month? November, we have an election, usually in this country, so maybe that's a time to bring up politics, or to steer completely clear of politics, depending on what your story is. But also in November, you have Thanksgiving, you have Black Friday. So for example, one of my stories, Temp Girl, it was all about retail. So where is she working the day, you know, on Black Friday? That was a big part of the story. And then you've got December. December is a great time to sort of wrap up the story, because you're zooming toward the end of the year anyway, right? When a lot of people are in reflection and you've got a lot of like family get-togethers. And so it stirs up a lot of emotion. And, you know, emotions run high around holidays. So that's a great way to sort of bring everything to a head around the 25th of the month. And then you still have the rest of the month, 5 or 6 more days to sort of come down from that high and maybe wrap up the story. And then when am I ending the story? On New Year's Eve. I mean, what a great time to end the story and just to sort of, you know, put a bow on the story and then sort of look forward to what the character might be doing the day after. So honestly, when it comes to the plotting of the story, I just rely so heavily on the calendar.
That's yeah, so cool. I love that really so much. My mind is blown.
Yeah, that's a really clever way to structure serials. I really like that. That's really great. So I want to ask, you started off writing novels, more traditional novels, I believe, at the beginning of your writing career, which you started a little bit later in life after a career in a very different area. How did you come into this and teach yourself to write a contemporary romance novel? How did you do that?
Oh, okay. You're going to force me to age myself. So you're talking about my former career in IT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, my undergraduate is computer programming. So yeah, when I got out of college, I worked for a big like Fortune 50 company, and I was a coder. You know, back then we weren't called that, but now that's the hipster term. So yeah, I was a coder, and I was okay at it. I was pretty good at it. And I actually really loved it in the beginning, but eventually I transferred to a position in another state that was not the best job in the world. And I was starting to get a little bored with it. And I had a professor say something to me in a graduate program. I was going to night school, and this professor handed me back a paper, and he said, you know, I really think we should try to get this published. It was the thesis of the course. And I said, published. And he said, has no one ever told you that you have a flair for writing? And I said, no. And he said, well, I think we should submit this to academic journals. And I thought, I wonder if I could write a romance novel. Because that's all I was interested in, right? Because I'd grown up reading romance. I'm back on the farm. I was reading a book a day. And that's kind of what kicked it off. And then suddenly when I had a job that wasn't quite as fulfilling as I would have liked, that's when I started getting serious about writing. And it sounds very, very strange that someone who was a computer programmer would make that switch to writing. But honestly, there are a lot of people in IT who become writers. It's really a very similar process, especially if you're like me, where I kind of plan things out when I'm writing a novel. I plan a lot of it before I start to write it. And that's very much like programming. You know, you plan it out before you start writing the program. And then everything is sort of linear at that point. So so really the skills translate very well to being a writer. And I'm thrilled with my background in IT, and especially who knew that in 2011, that would sort of all marry and merge when self-publishing became a thing and you needed a few technical skills back then, especially to get started. It was just sort of this happy accident, I guess. You know, the aha moment, everything kind of falls into place. Listen, I think I have a very charmed life, and that is an example.
Love it. What would you say is the biggest difference between writing serials and novels that you've come across?
So I think it is the fact that you can plan that novel and go back and smooth and change and, reread, change your mind about things. And I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes you can overwrite. And I think that if you're writing a novel, there could be a tendency to overwrite and maybe not get it published as quickly as you should. A lot of writers kind of hang on to things until they're perfect. You can't do that when you write a serial. You have to sort of let the story go before it's perfect. And that's a risk, and it's kind of exciting. And I think it just pushes you to be a better writer. I think it makes you be a better business person too, because you're not dwelling on things. You're getting projects out there in a more timely manner. And honestly, that's what readers want. Readers will forgive a typo here and there as long as you're giving them a really good story and you're giving it to them consistently. So I think the difference in writing a novel and versus writing serial is the excitement level. If you're not writing serials, you are really missing out as a writer.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It is, like you said, feeling a little bit dangerous when you're on that edge of getting things out. So you also put your serials into audiobooks. Can you tell us how you do that? What does that process look like for you?
So when I had my first serial put into audiobook way back in, I wrote it in 2016. So the audiobook came out in 2017. At that time, I had the narrator produce it in daily chapters, so that I was thinking ahead, thinking maybe someday I could distribute it as a daily audiobook or as a monthly audiobook. And so smaller segments basically than just the entire volume, not knowing if I'd ever be able to, but because podcasts really weren't on my radar at that point in a big way. But I just knew that it would give me flexibility going forward. And why not do it? Because I could still release it as one volume, and listeners who listen to it, that's how they hear it, as one volume. But I just thought it would, why not do it if I can? Because I feel like if you write and you distribute, if you write your serial and you prepare it in a way to distribute it as it just gives you flexibility so that you can distribute it in daily segments, monthly segments, or in a one volume. So I had that audiobook. I didn't have anything to do with it yet, but it was there in pieces if I wanted it. And then fast forward to 2020. And I was thinking about podcasts, fiction podcasts. There weren't a lot targeted toward female audiences. And I thought, this great audiobook, of Come A Girl that's already sitting there in 180 separate little audio segments. And I've gotten really good feedback on it. At this point, the audiobook had been out for quite a while. So I thought, why not dress it up and put it back out as a podcast? So I sent it to a sound engineer. They added music and sound effects, and now it's out there as a podcast. So again, writing serials, it just gives you this flexibility to put the story out there in text, in audio, in all of it, in as short of segments as you want, and medium segments and long segments and a mix and match distribution. And I just think there's just almost no downside to writing serials.
So I know you've mentioned a couple of these, but do you have any other future writing plans or works or maybe a working title for the next girl series that you are dreaming up and want to share?
Oh, so I don't have a title yet for next year's serial. I've always got two or three things that I'm thinking about, and one will usually come to the forefront. But other than that, I've got another book in my Two Guys Detective Agency series. I'll be coming out next spring. I'm working on another screenplay at this point. Let's see, I might do another podcast in the future. I'm still revamping early books I'm getting back from my former publisher and putting them back out there again. And they are so old, they practically need to be rewritten. So those are taking some time. So yeah, I'm busy, and that's the way I like it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So as a final question, what would you say to someone looking to start their own serial?
What are you waiting for? Do it.
I love it so much. Well, thank you so much for coming and sitting down and talking with us.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's really good to see you again. And I can't tell you how wonderful it's been just to talk about serials. And thank you again for having me.
Our thanks today to Stephanie Bond for letting us break down their episode.
And that's a wrap. Oh, by the way, Twitter suspended my account when the first it's back now, but the first post that I made for Escort Girl, they thought was inappropriate content.
Oh, because it's Escort.
No. Yeah, but it came back up.
It is not fair that your hair looks so good both ways. I'm so jealous of you, and I'm so mad at you for not giving me your hair. I told you I wanted a wig.
Okay, well, that's a lot. It honestly looked like there was a poodle on the ground.
You just mail me your hair. You're like, can you just sleep that out? I'm going to mail that to my friend.